we're not rushing this topic because it's very, very important. It's very, very crucial. So I'm taking my time as the Lord will lead us, taking my time to let more people understand it. You know, in communication, they don't get it the first time. Sometimes they don't even get it the fourth time. They say it takes six times before people begin to even hear what you're saying. So we're going to look at some things we've said before, because they're important that we understand them and practice them. It's not just that we talk about them, but that we build it into our lives and becomes what we do. Our text is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. New Living Translation. Never stop what? Praying. And so why must we do that? Because our Lord Jesus also told us the same thing in Luke 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. That is Luke 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. I'm reading the King James Version. Watch ye therefore and pray always. And pray how? Always. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We said that what is really under attack is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the foundation that carries our faith. He is the foundation upon which our faith is laid. The gospel is what is under attack. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those things that Jesus achieved on the cross for you and for me, that's what the enemy is trying to hide from us so that we don't know them. That's what the enemy is trying to deceive us, not to look up to them, not to think they belong to us, not to think that this is real and true. And he wants to give us something else, the ritualism to be doing. When Jesus has paid it all, when Jesus has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So you can imagine that he wants to hide it from us. He wants to. He wants our faith to be in what we do, our faith to be in rituals we perform. Actually, a lot of Christians have more faith in rituals than in Jesus Christ. They have more faith in a lot of rituals than in Jesus Christ. They believe in ritualism a lot. But our faith should be solidly on Christ Jesus alone. And we sing it, on Christ the solid rock, what? I stand. If there's no ritual attached to what they do, they think it's not, this won't work. If there's no good pimple feeling, they tell you that nothing has not moved. If there's no shaking, they tell you, no. Those things are not, they're not basis on which you base your faith. You base your faith on the faithfulness of God. You base your faith on who Christ is. You base your faith on the testimony of Scripture, and that will be enough for you. And so, to be able to fight and retain our faith and not be movable, we need to have a plan to keep these things, these truths of the gospel in view, to keep it in mind. Because if we forget them, we are toast. Especially when things go haywire. When it goes haywire, we're toast. Because then you can't even be organized. So you have to, before anything happens, get yourself a plan how to keep the scripture in view so don't forget them. And then you build it into your consciousness. And so we look at 1 Corinthians 15:1. I'm reading the Amplified, please. 1 Corinthians 15:1 Amplified. And now, let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you. You see what I'm saying? The scripture is saying that some Christians have forgotten the gospel. They have forgotten the gospel. They have gone into ritualism. He said, it seems to have escaped you, brethren, of the gospel. It has escaped you. The gospel has escaped you. So let me now remind you of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaimed to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and upon which your faith, what? I didn't hear you. Come on, church. Upon which your faith, what? Rest. He said, but you have forgotten it. It has escaped you. So I need to remind you this thing. And then verse 2, it says, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast, brethren, if you hold fast. and keep firmly. If you conditional, if you hold fast and keep firmly what I preach to you, unless you believe at the first, without effect and all for nothing. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1. We then, this is New King James Version. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Not to receive the grace of God, what? In vain. Yeah. And then it goes in verse 2. Now listen to verse 2. See why this thing is very important. For he said, I have had thee in the time, what? Accepted. God said, I've listened to you. I've sent you all the help you need. And in the day of salvation, I have succored thee. What is succor? Provided. I provided for you in the day of salvation. Isn't this the day of salvation? Behold, now is the accepted what? Time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So I provided succor. I provided what you need in life. I have, through the work of salvation, I provided you everything you need in life. But if you forget them, you are going to reach out to something that he didn't provide and nothing will happen there. Now let's read second again, Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we shouldn't let this thing slip, because that's exactly what the enemy wants. If he slips from us, we are going to lay hold on what has no substance at all. And then in Proverbs chapter 4:20, my son, give attention to my words, incline that your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from where? Your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. They are life. It produces life to them, to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, Psalm 103 brings this thing to the fore again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Do what? Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, the same thing that the Holy Spirit is writing to the church. Don't forget all his benefits. Do not forget it. Do not. And then he began to enumerate them, who healed all thy diseases, who did all everything that Jesus achieved on the cross. He began to enumerate them. He said, don't forget these things. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you the truth. Don't forget these things, because that is what the Bible says. He said, in the day of salvation, I've sent you succor. I've sent you provision. I've helped you. I've sent you help. Now, if you disregard the help that he sent us, there's no other help now. There's no other help now. And so that's why, as a Christian, you must understand that it is important that you keep this thing in view and remember them. Remember them. And don't let it slip from you. And do not forget all, not some. Do not forget what? All his benefits. So we're talking about prayer of thanksgiving. That should be a plan that a Christian should have, where you thank God for all these benefits that Christ got us. When you do that daily, you are reminding yourself of those things, and they're not going to slip from you. And that's what exactly the scripture says. Keep it in view. Keep it in view. Keep seeing it. Keep it in view. You know, we can't just be wiser than God, you know. When God says to do something, I think the only wise thing is to what? To do it like that. There's no other way to do that. So when we come into the prayer of thanksgiving, it's important. I've said this over and over and over and over and over and over. I don't know how many people had me, but I keep saying it. That if you want to make success of your Christian faith, you must not forget the benefits of the cross. If you do, you will live a carnal life. I'm telling you the truth. You will be full of activities and zero knowledge. You can be full of activities and you don't know anything. And my people are destroyed for Lack of knowledge. I'm not kidding you. You cannot neglect the cross and succeed. It's not possible. That's the help that God sent us. That's the succor he sent us. So that we live by it. So if we make it our goal to remind ourselves, so these things don't slip. And as we build it into our consciousness, into our mind, the Holy Spirit begins to even make it clearer to us. Teach us these things. Because it's important to you. If it's not important to you, he will leave it alone. He will leave you alone. Until you be doing all the religious thing you are doing. He will leave you alone. So if we do these things, it will help us. And then we talked about prayer of faith. Prayer of faith and targeted prayer. Every prayer has to have a goal. My brothers and sisters, don't pray goalless, beating about the bush prayer. Especially if you are leading a ministry. I told them yesterday, I'm telling you people again, I'm saying it over, I don't know how many hosts of ministers are here to hear me. If they don't hear me, tell them in your ministry, if you want to succeed in ministry, you must have goals. You can't be praying and say, I'm praying for this ministry. What are you talking about? You must have goals. And that goal that should be spelled out. Everybody knows this is our goal. This is what we are expecting God to do. And then that becomes the prayer that everybody wants is what? Pray. And then when everybody is praying that prayer, that's one voice that God hears. That's one voice. But if there is no defined goal and expectation, how can you pray for that ministry? What are you talking about? It becomes a prayer when you gather, you pray 2 minutes and go home. It doesn't work like that. That 2 minutes fulfilling all righteousness, it doesn't fly with God. It's something that becomes a burning desire in your heart that you want to see God do, that will make you pray and pray and pray and pray and see God for it. And if it becomes important to you, you see the answer. And it's not too many people don't have to. One or two people can get God to do stuff. It's not a game of numbers. But these things need to be defined for us, that every prayer must have a goal, must have a target. The target is called vision. That target is called what? Vision. For instance, your prayer of worship in the morning, evening should be targeted to reminding you of all his benefits so you don't miss them. If there's anyone you are not remembering, go and quickly pull it up and say, this one, I can't forget this one. And then not only that, you minister to the Lord in praises and worship. You have target. This is what I want to achieve when I worship God. I want to praise him. I want to minister to him. You must have target, brethren. We can't live a purposeless life. Paul said we should not live as like beating about the bush. Hit and miss. Anything that comes. We cannot do that. It doesn't work like that. And then let me even tell us here. If you have a family, if you have your children, if you have anything, and there's a problem with them, my friend, you have to pray targeted prayer. You must target something for them. And you hit it, man, you're going nowhere, and God will do it. I'm telling you, hit it and stay on it. Believe you me, you see God do it. But if you have nothing you are pursuing, then there's nothing you are getting. you are out pursuing what? Nothing. They say, the one your emotion starts today, you pray. Tomorrow your emotion starts, another one you pray. You wonder why nothing is happening. You don't really have a desire. So every prayer must have a target. Must have a target, and the target is a vision that you must have. Look at John 5:19 and see where the vision comes from. John 5:19, see where your vision is coming from. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do what? Nothing of himself. You know, the same thing for us. So you can't wake up and say, this is my vision. Your vision is worth nothing. Forget about it. You can do nothing. You can't even have vision on yourself. You can't. So he said, the Son can do nothing on himself. But what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son. So the Father shows him first, this is what I'm doing, and the Son now does it. Now, the same thing for us. You can't wake up and have what they call ambition. Ambition is what comes from human mind, and God has nothing to do with it. It's all these ambitious things, you know. They say American dream, ambitious American dream. You can have American dream, that's your business, but you should have God's dream. Because God has a dream for you that the Holy Spirit will give you, which is his plan for your life. He says, the plan I have for you is the plan of good. He has a plan for each one of us. And God should give it to you. He should give it to you. And so the visions you have, the visions you pursue, has to come from God. Because Jesus said the Son can do nothing of himself. I don't even wake up and say, this is what I'm pursuing. This is what I'm going to pray to my Father to do. No. He said, my Father shows me, then the Son pursues it. And that's how your prayer comes smack in the middle of divine will. And that's how, believe you me, that's how the Holy Spirit will anoint you to pray. Otherwise, you get tired. You can't put, because he's not involved in that. He cannot empower you to pray what is not the will of God. He will not. So, but when you get smack into the middle of the will of God, you find the anointing to pray. And may you find your it's burning in your heart, man. He charges you up because that's the will of the Father. He wants that thing done. He has found somebody who wants to pray. Then he charges you up. You wake up, you're talking about that thing, you just go to bed. Then he's got you. I'm looking for a man. He's found you, and you're in business with him, man. And the result will finally come. So vision is what God gives us. It's not what men wake up in the morning and begin to have. I tell these young people, stop wasting your life. The Lord told me one time, he said, if you see any young person going round and round a circle, he said, because he doesn't listen. He said, there's life where? Yeah. You know, at a particular age, you think you know everything until you waste your time. And by the time you realize it, you lost a lot. Because time is money. The Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. If there's anything you don't want to lose, it's time. But people lose time because they won't hear. They will not listen. So again, vision does not come from man, my brothers and sisters. It doesn't come from man. Divine vision comes from God. God is the one who will show you what you pray for about your son. I'm telling you, about your son. He will show you. He will show you what to pray for about your family. He will show you what to pray for about your all those people in the village and things. If you really begin to hang out with God, he will show you what to pray for. You can pray them out of debt. He will show you that this person is about to pass away. This is what you do. He will show you. But then what I'm telling you is powerful. It puts a Christian in a place where nothing becomes impossible because he's engaged with the Almighty God in business called prayer. Praise the Lord. And anything that God is doing does not originate from man. That's why God's vision does not come from man. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, eye had not what? Seen, nor ear heard. Neither have entered where? Into the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for them that what? Love. It doesn't enter human. Divine wisdom is too high for mankind. It's something that you can't even begin to articulate the working of divine mind. You cannot. So he will show you a little bit of what he wants to do. Even for a nation, he will show you. All these missions things, if we don't pray according to divine vision, we can send money and not get a lot. I heard somewhere that Charles Finney, he had a lot of converts, but 80% of his converts, I think they say, backslid. But there was another brother who had almost 80-something percent of his converts never backslid. And they say the reason was prayer. He had one man, I don't know why they call him Father Nash. He's not a Reverend Father, but Father Nash. The man will come and pray. Before he comes to pray, the man will come and pray non-stop until he comes. He will pray until he's done. And when he's done, you know, after God does something for you, can I tell you something? That's when you pray more. Oh, boy. If you're done, the devil can come back and hit you. After God does something to you, that's not where to relax. That's where to go back and begin to bless him and begin to be strong in it. I'm telling you the truth. Because sometimes after God has blessed you, you relax and backsliding starts from there. You take God for granted and then before long you lose everything. You lose all of it. Praise the Lord. So what God does not come from the mind of a man. What God is doing for you does not come from your mind. What God is doing for your children he gave you is not coming from your mind. I'm telling you. Look, one day we're doing wedding. Let me tell you how God works. We're doing wedding in Lagos. And here I was. You know, we are praying before we go to the wedding. And then my son, one of my children, I won't call his name, just entered. And our senior pastor then looked at him. He said, whose son is this? No, he said, this boy is a pastor. Whose son is that? I said, it's my son. He's a pastor. It didn't come from my heart. I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, please don't let my children suffer what I suffered. He said, stop praying that kind of prayer. He said, let them have their life with me. I said, no, please don't let them suffer what I suffered, please. But he said, no, don't pray that kind of prayer. If it's coming from me, I want them to be CEOs of big companies. Is it wrong if I drive a Mercury? Buy me Mercury. Mercury is good. Mercury. But it didn't come from my heart, and it didn't come from my wife. Small boy. And then, before then, God showed this boy a vision of rapture. He described rapture for us. Everybody was baffled. And he showed us what was going to happen at the headquarters church and our church. All of it happened. Everything he told us happened. Everything that boy, he was 6 years old. Right? Everything that boy, he said, I saw a demon kick our church and the leg broke. He said, I watched that demon go and kick the other church and the church scattered. And exactly what happened. Exactly. These things don't come from, it's not human ambition. And you are not the one to make it happen. The same God will make it what? Happen. You don't have to start scheming and start manipulating and doing all that kind of junk that people do. So the thing that God does not come from the heart of man. And believe you me, it is his responsibility to carry it out. He will do it if you trust him. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And there are times, there are seasons that God, it's only in his hand that these things happen. There are times, there are seasons. And that's why we have need of patience. Praise the Lord, church. Are you following me? So, now, look at Acts 5:38. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Let them go. Let them alone. For if this plan, my brothers and sisters, if this plan you are nursing in your heart and mind, if this thing you call vision, this thing you think you have vision, if this plan or this work is of men, what will happen? Come to nothing. That's why you don't come and grab, say, I have vision. I have this. No. God will give you the vision because it is plan. It is his will. God will not violate his will now because that is sin. He won't commit sin. And now I say to you, now the next verse, please. Next verse. But if it is of God, what happens? You cannot overthrow it. Can't. That's why God has to give us this targeted prayer. Has to come from God because God will show you what he has in mind. And number two, God will anoint you to pray for it. So you don't pray this watery prayer that has no passion, no, nothing, absolutely. Just fulfill our righteousness and then ready to gossip and ready to cry and complain and all that and complain how things are not working and everything. You know, the Lord told me something. He said, do you know, listen. He said, do you know you tell them here, in this church, say you tell them what I'm doing and what some of them, you tell them, God has given you this. He said, they don't see it, they think it's not true. He said, how can they see it? The scripture said, believe you the Lord their God and believe you also what? His prophets. He said, if they don't take it from you, what else do I do? And he reminded me, he said, have you forgotten the woman that it was Pastor Young Cho, and told him that God has healed you of your leg. The woman carried that leg another 12 years. But I'm telling you, people, times and seasons belong to God. But that woman kept believing what the pastor told him. 12 years. I can play you, people, you hear it. 12 years. 12. And after 12 years, God spoke again through that pastor and said, I've healed that woman with the leg. God spoke 12 years ago, I've healed this woman with that leg. 12 years after, God spoke again, I've healed that woman with that leg. And the leg was even worse. And the children came and said, Mommy, stop telling people you are healed. You are not. He said, that word of God is true. I believe it to the end. Brethren, do you know it wasn't long? No prayer. She was just standing because she had 8 inches shorter. She was just standing and realized that the 2 feet had become the same. And listen to this. And then she started jumping around. And then they went to hospital because she had rod. Brethren, listen to this. There was no rod to be found anywhere. All she had was bone. There was no rod. No rod. The rod, nobody knows where the rod went. God took it out and gave her bone. After 12 years. After 12 years. Believe the Lord your God and believe his prophets that he prospered. But he looked down on them and said, Kumu, you taught us something. He said, okay, Lord, we'll move on. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 29:18. Message. Proverbs 29:18. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble. If people can't see what God is doing, what happens? They stumble all over themselves. But when they attain to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Vision comes from him. Brethren, I can of my own do nothing. I can't even begin to articulate a vision except the one he gives. That's humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. So, it is those things that become our target in prayer. It becomes what, and the Lord begins to talk to you. I said, I want you to do this prayer. Do this worship that your pastor is talking about. Then that target is giving you. See, do it now. It will bless you. That's target. He's talking to you now. He's giving you, do this thing. Do this thing. It will help you. You know. Now, there is prayer of intercession, which Christians must engage in. It's important that we engage in prayer of intercession. Every Christian must know that the work of God is not only done by meetings. I'm telling you, planning, forget about those things. Except the Lord builds. Wasting your time. People must learn to pray for your meetings and pray. Pray your heart out. And there's something you want to see God do in those meetings now. You can't just come and say, we are planned. Who are you to plan for what? After planning all that, God is watching you with your wisdom. He said, lean not unto your own. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge. Then he will now, planning is good, meeting is good, wonderful, wonderful, awesome. Clap for you, good. But remember, you can of your own do nothing. Can do nothing of your own. So, prayer of intercession is what every Christian must be involved in. And that is about the target that God gives us. For instance, you belong to this church. Part of the way you serve this church is to pray here. You belong to the women's ministry, men's ministry. You belong to children's ministry. Part of the way you serve is not just on Sunday run. No, you also want to pray. And God will give you what to pray about. God will show you this is what I want to do in this ministry. He will show you. You begin to pray about it. You begin to see, and when he shows you and you really want, because God says, I'm looking for a man who will stand in the gap. If he sees you and you're really ready, he will anoint you for it. And these are not one day prayer. So I've done. No. Is a continuous prayer. A continuous seeking of God. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, now this is an example. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus. See, he's a servant Jesus through prayer, sends you his greetings. He always prays how? Earnestly for you. He has a burden for this thing. Always. Non-stop. His heart is in it. His mind is in it. Asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. See the target he's praying, what he wants God to do. And he's praying for, I can assure you that the next verse. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for believers with Laodicea and Hierapolis. Prays hard. Has passion for it. He has anointing for it. And God put it in his heart. This is what I want to do in this church, but I need you to pray for them. Colossians 2, verse 1. We talked about prayer of thanksgiving, and then we're talking about prayer of consecration. Colossians 2, verse 1. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you. I mean, prayer of intercession, not consecration. I want you to know how much I have what? Agonized. How much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea. Now, Epaphras is praying for the same church. Who else is praying? Paul. Paul. I was telling them yesterday at the believers meeting. I said, I was studying and I saw what God did with Paul. How Paul said, man, he said, I dare not speak of anything except what the Lord Jesus has done to make the Gentiles obedient through signs and wonders. And I said to myself, I said, Paul is different too. I said, I'm not like Paul. The Lord said, no, you are. The Lord said, no, you are. It's the same grace you have, he has. And I'm no respecter of persons. He's not even holier than you. Everybody, all of you, you walk by my grace. But he said, I show you why those things happened. And this Bible I've been reading, I'm telling you. He said, did you realize that Paul will always ask for prayer? That man was very humble. He trusted God in everything. He knew that except the Lord undertook, nothing will happen. He said, pray for me that this will happen. He showed me. He said, pray. He said, look at it. Pray for me that this will. Pray for me that this will. Pray for me. He said, pray for me that God will give me utterance. That God will give me boldness. That the word will be accepted. He said, it is in answer to those prayers that those things were now happening. Those things were now happening. So I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church in Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. Did you see that? He's praying for people that have never met him personally. Never met him. He don't know them, but he's praying for them, agonizing for them. People he doesn't even know. Why? Because that was his desire. Do you know how he prayed for Israel? He said, I wish I go to hell for Israel. He said, I'm praying for them that they be saved. That man he loved Jesus so much. He put his heart in people coming to know Christ. This is not talking. He loved Jesus so much. He labored, he went and prayed his heart out, seeking God for people to be saved. People, look at that. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for church, the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me, how? Personally, I'm agonizing for them. It's called intercessory prayer. But you know, you cannot be in this kind of prayer if you are carnal. Because the carnal mind does not pray for other people. He's a very selfish mind. A carnal mind, oh my God. Does not pray for other people. Doesn't even understand what we are saying here. First Corinthians 2:13. We're talking about prayer of consecration now. That's the last one. These things we also speak. What I'm teaching this evening, these things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit what? Teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual thoughts. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Nor can he even know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, if a Christian is carnal, it's not growing out of carnality. Brethren, I'm telling you the truth. He cannot pray of intercession. He cannot. Because his mind is full of carnal things. All he's thinking about is himself, his family, and everything. That's all. The moment you say, let us pray that God will prosper us, you see him yelling. But let's pray that that the Lord will touch people around here, that they will know Jesus and everything. All that energy goes down. Carnal it. He doesn't understand the mind of God. He doesn't understand how important things are to God. He doesn't understand what is important to God. He doesn't. And if you watch his choices in life, you will see carnal decisions all over the place. Because the Spirit doesn't guide him. He leans onto his own understanding. And wonder why he's being limited and hindered. Wonder why. Because the Bible says these things, they make us stumble. They trip us over and over and over. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh, after the flesh, for those who live after the flesh, what do they mind? They mind things of the flesh. They don't mind things of the spirit. The divine vision that God gives is not, it's not for them. They're not interested in it. But they that are after the spirit, they mind the things of the spirit. So the prayer of consecration becomes very, very important for every Christian. Now, you know, it's easy to for me to see your fault. But what is difficult is for me to see my fault. It's easy. Seeing other people's fault is awesome, as long as it's not you. But brethren, we all carry fault. We do. And it is prayer of consecration that will help you to begin to dislodge these things that are making your mind carnal. Second Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore, what? Purge himself from these, he shall now be a vessel unto honor. God will now begin to give him his vision for him to pray them out. Becomes a vessel unto honor. Sanctified and meet for the master's what? Use. And prepared unto every good work. You know, after preaching on Sunday, the Lord taught me something. He said, it's amazing. He said, do you know what you are talking about, your grandson? He said, many people think because they sit in pastor's seat and things that I'm using them. He said, I don't use them. He said, a lot of people have made themselves what I didn't make them. Said some of them draw crowd and stuff, but I'm not using them. He said, I will never use an immature person. Because my word says, don't give my work to a what? A novice. So I don't use immature people. He said, many people have gone. He said, see how your grandson will go to your seat and sit up there. And then all the children will be calling him Pastor Chinedu Emmanuel. He said, yeah, I'm planning to do baptism for them in my office. He said, that's what a lot of people do, because they sit in pastor's seat and people call them Reverend Susu. They think that I'm using them. They are babies. I can't use babies. He said, do you use babies? I said, no. He said, why do you think I use babies? Immature people, God doesn't use them. Because the scripture says so. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. The scripture says so. He said, don't give my work to people who are novices, immature. He said, they become proud. Once they become proud, they fall into the trap of Satan, and pretty soon they get destroyed. Become proud. You can't even teach them again. You can't tell them anything there because, oh, they know too much. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. The next one. Go back. I want to read. See there. Go back. No, go to verse 1. Verse 1. Is that verse 1? I'm in verse 22. I'm in 20, not 21. 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of what? Wood and of earth. And some to honor, and some to dishonor. Continue now. Then if a man therefore purge himself for those from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and made for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. So a prayer of consecration affords me the privilege to come before God and let God seek me out. I said it the last time. If you want God to check you out, he will. But if he starts, don't be angry. There are people, you can't correct them. If you tell them, if you want to know whether you're carnal, check how you take correction. Once somebody corrects you, you flare up. You are very carnal. Extremely carnal. You are seeking your glory. That's why you flare up, because somebody has touched your ego. Pam, they touch your ego, you fight and defend it to show I'm not like that. And your voice can, they can hear your voice at Main Street, because you are fighting to defend you are not talking to me, your ego. But when we live the spirit life, we are dead. Paul said, it is no longer I that live it, but Christ that liveth in me. It is no longer I that live it, but Christ that liveth in me. So you bring Paul correction, he'll be very grateful. It's not about him. It's not him. He'd be very grateful. We have, brethren, yesterday, Dr. Chibuzo, oh, very wonderful brother, his heart broke. He was talking about the fact that a lot of Christians are ignorant of the truth. He says it's a disaster. It's a serious disaster. You know, the choices we make will reveal where you are. Honestly speaking, will reveal where you are. All these pushing people to come and do this, they're babies. Just forget about it. Because a baby will always be a baby. Until they grow, they won't change their choice. You know, my children corrected me. And I was grateful. To God be all the glory. Very grateful. Because if they didn't correct me, I would be doing that everywhere. 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 You come to a church, a lot of people in meetings, there's no peace. What? Why is there no peace? Somebody doesn't want you to talk. Prayer of consecration is where we come like David and say, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way, what? In me, and lead me in the way of a way everlasting. Brethren, I'm telling us the truth of the matter. The flesh will hinder you from prospering. I'm not kidding you. The Bible says so, I didn't say so. The flesh, we kill your enthusiasm. You used to be everywhere. Now all of a sudden, you have excuses and excuses and excuses. But the Bible says, if you follow the flesh, you shall surely die. You depart from divine fellowship. It's good to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I came here for a tune-up. I came here for what? Tune-up. I'm here, tell me. Anything I need to change, anything I need to, please. I'm here. But if he tells you, do what? Look, if you don't, he won't tell you again. If he tells you, because sometimes he won't tell you there. He will tell you somewhere. He will tell you somewhere through somebody. And then watch you. If you receive it, he will tell you more. And the other purging is to make you a vessel of honor. Can I hear amen? You become a what? I've asked people, I said, explain to me why God will come to church and tap somebody and say, don't pray, don't join them. All of them are praying. God will say, don't join them in that prayer. There are vessels of honor in the church. There are vessels of dishonor. That's what the Bible says. In a great, in a noble man's side, there are different types of vessels there. Vessels of honor. There are people that God will show his mind because they honor him. They understand spiritual things. There are people who will not because their mind is clogged with carnality and they won't even hear anything. But prayer of consecration will help us. Like Paul was praying for them, you know, agonizing for them, that they will be knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to be complete, to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself, that they understand it, which is you're not just going to church, but you understand this gospel. That's what they say, I'm agonizing for them for this. Let's go back and read it. Colossians 2, verse 2. I want them to be encouraged, verse 2. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's what? Mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. Then in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why am I doing this? I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted what? Arguments. For though I'm far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. God is answering my prayer for you. He said, I'm far away, but I get good news that you are living, your faith in Christ is strong. It's because there are so many deceivers out there. I want us to bear our heads to pray.